We will call the Gage County Board of Supervisors meeting to order for Wednesday, March 20th, 2024 at 8:45 on the clock. We'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meetings Act is on the wall to my left. Attendance by observation. Juergens, Haxby, Schuler, Tiemann, Dorn, Swavely, and Lytle. Up first is the consent agenda. Approve the general agenda. Approve minutes of the meeting held March 6th, 2024. Approve all claims through March 20th, 2024 in the amount of $1,611,609.31. Accept claim number 2403023 to Hard Rock Quarries LLC in the amount of $1,570.36, and claim number 2403026 to Johnny's Welding Inc. in the amount of $608.64 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve correction on check number 2310158 to be canceled. Correct check number 2310287 to Prohaska and Associates should be canceled, not check number 2310158.
Do you need an explanation on
that? The correct check number to be canceled.
Yes, we just, because it was a duplicate and she gave me the wrong number to cancel. So, yes.
All right. Approve changing June 12th board meeting to June 11th due to scheduling conflicts. Approve quote for Applied Connective to manage county phone system. Approve specs and call for bids on Gage County 2024 box culverts number 1236, 1237, 1238, 1239, 1240, and 1262. Bids to be opened April 17th, 2024 at 9:15 a.m. I ask for a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented, unless there are any items you'd like to pull off.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, second by Swavely. Any discussion? If not, please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Regular agenda. Approve or disapprove claim number 2403023 to Hard Rock Quarries in the amount of $1,570.36. This is a company that I own.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Swavely, second by Dorn. Any discussion? Please vote. 6 in favor with Tiemann abstaining. Motion carries. Approve or disapprove claim number 2403023 to Johnny's Welding, Inc. in the amount of $608.64. This would bring the total amount of claims paid through March 20th, 2024, $1,613,788.31.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, second by Swavely. Any discussion? If not, please vote. 6 in favor with Juergens abstaining. Motion carries. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items for the Board of Supervisors meeting. Anything not on the agenda currently or any items to put on at a later time? If not, we'll move on to committee reports. Building and ground, winter lights, Mr. Swavely.
We'll let David take it. He's here early this morning, so.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We're working on a proposal for Donna told me that there is money hopefully available for handicap entrances for polling sites, and if we could get some money from this grant, we would replace the door on the east side, lower level. What we have now is a handicap entrance with the door swing out. They have been always constantly giving us trouble with getting caught in the wind, so this would be a 41-inch sliding door. And then it would be to take the center post out that is between the two doors and install a header. So I did write up a proposal, and I'm trying to get some bids back on that. We did talk about this when we were going to discuss replacing the ramp. We would replace the door also. If we could do this now, it would be nice to shorten the time down that the handicap entrance would be down, so if we could kind of break it up into two different projects, that would be nice. And Applied Connective did come down on Monday to talk to the committee. Bids for the highway camera system and door controllers will be opened on April 3rd. And Applied did come down to answer some questions. And I did have another vendor that was interested in the project, and they asked if we could, if it had to be the access control system. And the committee did say, yes, we do want it to stay as access control. So,
and that's Dave, just for clarification on that, the access control, that was just an operating system so that it would all plug into the same server?
Right. It would be the platform that they would use. So if you use, if that computer is for access, you would stick with controllers, and everything would be access also.
And most of what we have for our door controls, I'm sorry, our original cameras were access also.
Were access, and then they did get converted over to IC real time now, and then it would go back. They can, the camera can take, let me say this right, the computer, the cameras we have now will work with this computer, but as these cameras go out, they would be switched over to the access.
I was going to call another vendor also to see if they are interested in our boardroom, and they did get back to me and said they are interested. They were going to get a hold of you.
Okay.
So we'll see how that goes. We'll just try to put something together that shows generally what we're asking for, and then I suppose we'll take a presentation from both of them and see which wins out.
Sure. Yep. Sounds good.
Thanks, Dave.
Okay, thank you.
The only thing is that once we put the doors in, the doors will be back further into the courthouse. They won't be right on the outside edge or right next to the ramp there. They'll be 16 or 18 inches in, so that you make it better to, if you're coming with a wheelchair, to make a turn, and you'll slide and get out of your way rather than swinging into you. So.
It won't catch in the wind and break.
Glad you brought that up. Yeah, yeah. And that ramp design was from an architect, but we have always struggled with that. If people come down in a little motorized scooter, it's hard to make that turn for them. So this would be just, it would be an offset door, so it's going to be wider, and then it wouldn't have the panic bar on it. So it would give a lot more space to come into that door. So,
thank you.
Thank you.
Equalization, we heard briefly from Annette this morning. Looks like farm ground's still climbing a little bit, but residential has been put in. We'll see what the state does with that. Finance and insurance, Mr. Juergens.
Excuse me. Large ticket items, Jones Automotive. Install sheriff's equipment vehicles, $15,905.89. Ace Irrigation Manufacturing Pipe, $29,572. Beatrice Concrete Sand and Gravel, Rock and Gravel, $15,015.86. DMC Wearports LLC, Greater Blades and Bolts, $11,348.60. Manili Wagner Associates Engineering Consulting, $94,037.26. Sat Brothers Petroleum, fuel, oil, grease, and antifreeze, $21,802.43. Last but not least, AMG Technology, grant permit number 2 for $925,000. And if I could, I'd like to have Emily, Mrs. Haxby, explain that one.
That's what this picture is for you guys on your handed out. This is the project area for our ARPA project, and they have half of the locations live and hooked up, or getting hooked up, or have the opportunity to be hooked up. So that's the area that's colored in through here. So that would be the Pickerel DSA, so it's DSA is Distribution Service Area, so Pickerel DSA, the Adams DSA, and they're starting off of the Cortland DSA. Once these are all getting hooked up and live, then we'll have, they'll kind of be hooked up together a little bit, and so they'll have redundancy, so if one piece of that goes out, it can still stay live as well. So this is our second payment of four for this project.
And this project was paid for originally with ARPA dollars. We received about $4.2 million. It's still ongoing because the project keeps expanding, even though it's not part of our original contract. But there's a really good contract negotiated out for 25 years on this area. The expansions in some of the other villages are falling under some of that contract language as well. In private business, you're always leveraging money. Looks like it might be illegal if you're following any New York court cases, but in the real world, that's what happens. We did that with the county dollars, and this $4 million is leveraged currently to about $13 million, and that's continuing to grow. So I consider this a real success, and Emily really was working on that between her and a couple of the folks from SEND and guiding us on this. So this is looking like a real success for our rural areas.
There's also some of the things that we need to keep watching for, too, is with other grant programs, making sure that we're not duplicating or they're not duplicating funds within our project. We have one that's currently that was funded that overlaps. Over 50% of that project overlaps our project. We funded ours at $4,210 per home, or subsidized our project at $4,210 per home. And this grant that was selected to be funded is funded at $25,500 per home. And one of those homes was actually just a barn out in the field. So it's a little bit disappointing. But they seem to be proceeding with that funding, even though I had let them know it was an overbuild. So
we'll stay tuned to that.
So the Kansas State purple, which would look better in scarlet, is what?
It's the areas that are live. Actually, it was blue, but when you turn down the transparency so you can see it, it turns purple. Mm. Yeah.
But that's the
areas that
the
are
part that's live.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
It would look a lot better in scarlet.
Point taken. Anything else for finance and insurance? Human resources, employee relations. Nothing really to report at this time. We may have some discussion on how we can make a range, and I don't know how. This might be a question for you, Mr. Juergens. I don't know when you'd want to do that, but we've talked about maybe changing some ranges on our labor for the highway department.
We've had some retirees, well, as you'll find out later, there's a lot of work has to get done in Gage County this year, and we're short of help, so I would like to bump up the labor part of it a little bit to compensate, to get some people, let's put it that way.
And we did something similar in the courthouse. We gave a range on the bottom end for starting entry-level people, depending on what their experience was. I think there was about a $1.50 range between no experience and a little bit of experience or some experience. And I think that's the idea you have, is just that range on the labor, basically.
And, you know, this isn't just a Gage County problem. It's everybody's problem. Hiring good help nowadays, it's tough to find. So,
law enforcement, emergency management, Mr. Lytle.
So emergency management, we've got nothing this morning. Law enforcement, I, off Officer Klaus said that, Chief Deputy Klaus, said that they don't have anything as far as law enforcement, and I wasn't here on Monday, so if there was any conversation from Monday that needs to be had here, I guess that's on you, Eric.
I don't think there was anything exceptional, just the usual report, wasn't there?
Yeah, Sergeant Hansen came in. It was very brief.
Looks like we've got some vehicles maybe coming into duty here pretty soon.
That's good.
According to the finance.
Do we have operators?
we have.
No, Lisa was.
Okay. Move on to Road and Bridge. Mr. Juergens.
Everyone, I'm going to turn this over to Emily. She has a huge announcement that I'm still floored at this, but I'm going to turn this whole thing over to Emily right now because she spearheaded this and had a large, large investment in time. I know that for a fact. Go ahead, Em.
It was officially signed. We did get the appropriations grant that I applied for through Congressman Smith's office. It was for $5.4 million for milling and overlaying the Odell Road and the Christ Lutheran Road. And that ended up coming out 100% funded.
Great.
And that's, you probably stated it, but it's a $5.4 million project. So, I mean, I've never seen anything like it. I mean, unbelievable. I was never much in favor of grants, but I am now.
We've talked over the last few years. Obviously, we've had some setbacks where we needed to come up with dollars for other reasons. But as we're looking at how to get caught back up on our roads, the last road bond that we had that really caught us up was in 2013, and several of the board members at that time went around and championed that, sold it to the public, said this is why we need this, and shy of a road bond, that's really what we need to catch the roads up over time. We can keep maintaining and doing projects, but something like this grant, it does save us from a road bond on those two projects. It also lets us use the funds that we would have tried to use on that other places or continue to build on other projects, whether they're bridges, culvert replacements. On this project, I think there are two small tubes and three or more additional underground structures that will need to be replaced. All of those cost a lot of money. So this expands our budget exponentially. I was lucky enough to be out in Washington last week for the SEND delegation, not lobbying, encouraging our delegates to do things for us. So we gave big thank yous to Congressman Smith's office and himself, and as well as we started laying the groundwork for the next grants that hopefully are coming. Mike Flood's another good one that he is very aggressive on these earmark grants. We really tried to plant the seed that these are a fantastic thing for our local counties. So this will push some paving out, and we'll keep on with structure replacements, structure repairs, as well as additional paving.
But we do have the RAISE grant is out that we'll be notified at the end of June if we're successful with that. That's for $25 million. That one we did apply. I applied it fully funded as well because in a rural area they allow fully funded applications, and it will not hinder our ranking of that grant. And then the other one that I just got in last night is the BIP, so it's the Bridge Investment Program grant. It's five bridges that are large bridges that are weight restricted bridges. It ended up being about $20.5 million estimated cost, and that would be 80-20, and we will know in the fall on that one. Those were fun because they weren't just like written out grants. They all had to be inputted through an Excel file, and the Excel file is so large that you can't just share it because it was close to 80 megabytes. So it was a very interesting grant to try to put together, but it is submitted. And then right as I was hitting the submit button on that, I got an email that appropriations grant is opened up, and it sent me the application for that one. So I was hoping to catch like a little break to catch up on cows, but that one's out now. So,
like I said, this one went in as an 80-20 request, and when it came out of the appropriations committee, it came out at 100%. So that's big right there. I mean, just our match is a large dollar amount. One other thing I'd like to bring attention to, our neighbors to the west, Jefferson County, they paid a consultant $80,000 to put the information together originally for grants like this. And we thought, $80,000, that sounds like a good deal if you actually do land one of these grants. The initial grants that they applied for with that $80,000, they did not get. We did not pay that consultation fee, and we didn't go through that process. As Ms. Haxby was going through and entering that information. And I know you had a lot of help from different places, Manelli Wagner or Highway Department, different organizations that you pooled information from, but that consultant did that job, and they charged the county $80,000 next door, and we thought that seemed like a fairly good deal. So thank you for saving us that additional $80,000, Ms. Haxby. This is a great thing. Anytime we can bring money into the county, it needs to be recognized. And I've said this with Don multiple times too. There have been multiple grants that have come in over $500,000 now, that we've pulled in dollars that we would not have received through applications and through that hard work. So I'll give you both a thank you. And as soon as Juergens gets one of these $10 million grants in, I'm going to tell you thank you, too.
Forget it.
Thank you for all the work from the board and from the Gage County citizens.
You might have mentioned it, Emily, but as far as the grant that we got, why don't you mention the time frame that we have on that one?
Well, when we applied, they had wanted it done in this calendar year, but once we were approved and the grant was that we were going to get it that was signed, they passed that over to NDOT. So that process is all going to be done through the NDOT, which will probably include the NEPA process. And so it might end up being constructed next year depending on their schedule. So
when you say it was passed over to NDOT, does that mean they're managing it?
Yes.
And okay. Does that create any extra steps that we have to take then? Or?
It would be the NEPA process, but I think that'll be fairly minimal because it's just a mill and overlay. We're not really creating any new construction. So.
The items that would apply to that more directly, we'll get those done ahead of time so that they're not part of this project. And they need it done anyway, so it's a win again.
When the dollars come through from the federal government, has to go through the process. But Nebraska is like one of eight states that has NEPA assistance, so it allows us to kind of streamline that process too. So it's fortunate coming through the state on that as well.
Anything else for Road and Bridge? All right, nice work. I'm going to move an item up on the agenda. I see Mr. Merkel here. We have a proclamation we're going to make today. Would you like to say anything prior to that proclamation? Or?
Before or after, either way.
Well, with that then,
Let me look.
The Gage County Board would like to proclaim Thursday, March 21st, 2024, as World Down Syndrome Day. We urge all citizens to take note of this observation. Whereas Down syndrome is a genetic anomaly caused by an extra copy of the 21st chromosome, according to current data, about 250,000 people in the United States have Down syndrome. Studies show that 1 in 800 babies are born with Down syndrome each year. And whereas the date, March 21st, has come to represent three copies of chromosome 21, and has developed into a movement to celebrate and value people with Down syndrome around the world, And whereas Down syndrome does not typically run in families and is not caused by anything either parent did or did not do. And whereas despite dramatic increase in lifespan and intellectual ability, there is still much work to be done regarding the rights to equality, inclusion, education, medical care, research, and support for people with Down syndrome here in Gage County, the state of Nebraska, and the United States and abroad. Whereas organizations in Nebraska are committed to connecting those touched by Down syndrome through education, advocacy, inclusion, and support. And whereas through public awareness, Gage County recognizes the hard work and progress made by self-advocates, parents, medical professionals, researchers, and many nonprofit organizations all over the world. Now, therefore, we, the Gage County Board of Supervisors, do hereby proclaim the 21st day of March, 2024, as World Down Syndrome Day in Gage County, and we do urge all citizens to take note and observe this day. Mr. Merkel, you've championed this here in our area. Would you like to come up and say a few words?
Yes.
Good morning to both of you.
It's yourself. Say your name.
Hi.
Say your name.
You don't have Holly.
You're going to have to say it real loud. The mic will pick it up.
Holly.
Okay. Holly. Yeah, this is Holly. I'm Monty Merkel from 7001 West Aspen Road, Claytonia, Nebraska. Holly actually lives here in Beatrice. I kind of requested she not share her address to the public. But anyway, she wanted to come along and actually be present when we talk about it. Like you mentioned, a couple of years ago, we started talking about doing this here in Gage County. Some of the questions that we get asked, I guess I wanted to address, and then also I always like to take this opportunity to maybe share a couple of details about Down syndrome, take advantage of the platform we have, because there's multiple people, and I always feel if we're educating our leaders in our community, they turn around and educate others, whether it be their kids, grandkids, spouses, whatever the case may be. She probably recognizes Emily. She sees her at church once
church,
in a while.
Yeah.
That's Katie's sister, Holly. Anyway, while she's taking care of things over there, I'll go on. But a couple of things to share. You know, some people ask, we use blue and yellow for the colors to represent Down syndrome. And some people ask why we pick blue and yellow. So a little trivia here. When they're doing the genetic testing, the geneticists use dyes to identify chromosomes and so on. And the 21st chromosome usually uses the colors of blue and yellow to identify those particular chromosomes. And if you remember from a couple of years ago, we picked the 21st of March because it's the triplicate of the 21st chromosome is what Down syndrome is. The other little tidbit that I wanted to share is socks. You've seen me walk in here with crazy looking socks on the 21st. And the reason they pick socks, if you look at the shape of a sock, it's somewhat shaped like a chromosome is. So that's tonight at supper when you don't know what else to talk about, you can bring those topics up. You'll look around town, you'll see a lot of the little posters that we put up in the businesses. Holly's been responsible for putting several of those up. In the proclamation, you indicated the medical field and advocacy and self-advocates, and that's why Holly's along with me today, is to be a self-advocate, which I think she's doing a pretty fair job.
I'm 27.
27 years that she's been educating me on Down syndrome. Some of the other things she does, she goes to Wilbur Claytonia Public School and speaks to the students there, shares some of the facts about Down syndrome. Sometimes we share some of the myths that are associated with Down syndrome to try to prevent the stereotypes. What else? Oh, back to why I'm doing this. This isn't about me, obviously, and it's not even totally just about Holly, but it's about all the folks with Down syndrome. The research that's being done all the time is somewhat amazing. There's been talk that with diseases like, say, dementia, Alzheimer's, it's fairly common, probably half of the folks with Down syndrome will end up having dementia. And so there's belief that by doing more research and studies with the folks with Down syndrome, they maybe will figure out exactly what's causing that disease and either find a cure or at least find something that we can keep it at bay a little longer. So those are things that I guess, like I said, we like to share whenever we get a chance to have a platform where there's media and more people.
With my
I don't drink coffee, but she says I could go to the coffee shop and tell those people those same stories. Holly does drink coffee, so. Daycare, one of the things, just driving in this morning, I seen the sign out here that talks about daycare. 2 out of 3 kids in Gage County are short of daycare.
I have a kid out.
If you think 2 out of 3 is bad, try to have a child with special needs and then live in the rural area. There's programs that help. Help with respite care and such, but they're in Beatrice. If you're living 20 miles away, you can't afford to pay them to drive out there for 2 hours and drive back, and they can't afford to go that far. So maybe some of the answers to our daycare troubles down the road might stem from doing research again and looking into situations for these folks. We can find answers for these folks. We might find answers for the...
Careful.
I wish I had that answer for you, but I don't. Careful, what am I doing? Am I at my 5-minute time limit?
No, we're buddies.
What do you want to share?
I have a buddy.
You have lots of buddies.
Holly, Nolly.
Okay. What we want to do is just say thank you for having the proclamation. You know, we don't take that lightly. It's a very serious deal, and it's good to see the county board step up. The city of Beatrice, we spoke to them Monday night, and they also did a proclamation, you know. And it takes a few minutes out of the time, and it's maybe not as in-depth as some of the other projects that this board or the village or the city of Beatrice has to work on. But in the long run, it is important, and we appreciate that. So thank you to the board for that. Anything else?
When Monty and I were a little bit younger playing volleyball, Holly used to be out and about. Us two there in DeWitt, but we appreciate you bringing this to our attention.
Yeah,
will we be changing lights on the courthouse yet? Do you want to?
Yes, I will talk with Mr. Jones or Mr. Sudden, one of the two, and we'll get a switch. We're not going to have blue this year, just because I had blue glass last year, and then we got a little sprinkle, and it cracked all the glass. And so I'm going to have to get some tempered glass, and I just haven't found a place to get me that yet. So hopefully by next year we'll have it. But we're going to put the yellow on, put the yellow on for tonight. Be on there for tomorrow.
Are you ready? I don't want to throw
that. And he's talking volleyball, so. And you talk about when we were younger. I believe I was maybe even older than you are now. I just slipped that in there. We got to do that outside. That's an outside sport.
Well, no, thank you both for coming. We do appreciate it.
Well, thank you for giving us the time.
I saw she had an awesome experience at a Nebraska volleyball game.
She did. She the video went viral. It was Lainey Choboy come up into the stands when they throw out the little volleyballs when they do the introduction. Lainey come unannounced on her own, come into the stands. We're about 5 rows up, and come into the stands and hand delivered that ball to Holly. So. Speaks volumes about the type of athletes they have on the volleyball team, I can tell you that. But
just pretending you're volleyball.
And we're not going to pretend that's too old. Thank you again.
Thanks, Monty.
Thanks.
Thank you, Holly.
We may not stick around. I'll have to take you back to work.
Public hearing.
Time to vent. Yeah. We do have a public hearing, a timed event. I'd ask for a motion to go into public hearing to support, to hear support and opposition to the special use permit 2024-1 for the placement of a commercial retail agricultural business to be located on a tract of land in the southeast corner of southeast quarter of the southwest quarter of section 3256 of Holt Township in Gage County, Nebraska.
Moved.
Second.
Moved by Swavely, second by Dorn, to go into public hearing at 9:19 on the clock. Please vote. 6 in favor, with Juergens voting no. Motion carries. There is a sign up sheet if anyone would like to speak in support or opposition.
Was abstain. Not even no.
Have to make it look bad.
Uh-huh.
Drive in and see where it's at.
I know where it's, I mean, I know that it's off of Vale Road, but what's the...
Brad, would you like to come up?
Yeah, sure.
I'll have to swear you in. Will you give your name and address for the record?
Yeah, Brad Dusenberry, 1505 Lakeshore, Beatrice.
Will you raise your right hand? Yeah. Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
So, yes.
Go ahead, sir.
Hi, I'm... Hi, good morning, everybody. I'm Brad Dusenberry. I'm here for the special use permit. It's on our farm that my grandparents and actually great-grandfather started back in 1920. I'm the fourth generation. We have the fifth and the sixth generation hopefully taking over from me. I'm kind of an old guy when it comes to this. But about 2 years ago, I came up with the idea that I'm a little bit gluten intolerant. And so I kept looking for things to purchase at the stores, and really it's very limited to come to find out. I'm not a celiac or like people that are severely against wheat and gluten, but I knew that it was hard to find. And so like if there's anything in this world, if it's hard to find, there's usually a solution. And so I started researching it, and I made some phone calls, called up to the university, learned about their food innovation science program up there, which is, they're outstanding. I can't say anything but good about them. They're a great resource and helped us develop some products that we want to manufacture, basically, in this facility. This building is about 11,000 square feet, 180 by 60 currently in our plans. I'm working with Wes Mainz up in Pickerel on it. Half of it will be for production, and the other half will be a farm shop because it is a working farm. And how to describe what the look will be is basically, if you're familiar with Scott Wien's just to the west of town, like a seed dealership, with silos, in the area to supply grain to it. If we get that large enough, hopefully that would be the case that we can do that. Probably some of the things that you all are worried about is traffic and all. Well, to start, like any upstart business, it'd be a low employee count. I have no idea how big or how small it will be. That's just speculation. We all know that if we find a market and it accepts it and off it goes, then we'll see where it goes. Water, for example, just a regular house well. We only use it for cleaning. We don't use it in the process, so that's not an issue. As far as noise, things like that, it's all inside. It's not outside. It's kind of a boutique-type mill since it's small. So it's all contained in. My closest neighbor is actually my grandparents' old house. Mike Bauman, Mike and Pam Bauman, have worked with us on the farms ever since the 80s. They purchased it from my folks, and currently their daughter lives in that facility, and actually the idea of where to put this facility is Mike Bauman's idea. I had some other ideas where I wanted to put it, but he talked me into it, and so that's why it's where it's at. And also it's close access to three-phase power, which is important for motors and things like that for in a shop. I can't think of anything else unless you have questions on how to, we're planning on doing it, and the way I certainly can answer them.
Any questions from the board? Will you have, I assume you're making some type of flour.
Do you have
that for sale on site, or is this all bulk?
Yeah, it's not going to be for sale on site. It's basically our market is really, we're hoping the world, but definitely North America. That's the plan. If we tried to do it just as a local store and all, not that big a market, but when you spread it out to 360 million people, that's where it runs into some numbers. But as far as retail, yeah, walk-in, no plans for that whatsoever. If we do that, we have an office building just north of Runza that will open that up and sell it out of there. But that's kind of the current plans. Whether that'll be in 10 years the same, I have no idea. We'll see. If it is a problem, I hope that's a good problem. My kids can worry about it. Yeah.
Nothing from the board?
It's only about a mile, a little over a mile off the highway, right?
It's a mile and a half. When you just go up north of the, you know, Elm Road, north of the truck stop, it's a mile and a half west. It's the third house on the right.
Be good access for you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hopefully you guys will pave it someday. And better. Since you're really good at grants.
Yeah.
But it's, my wife was a county commissioner down in the Kansas City area. It's big to bring your own money back home. That's very good. Glad you did it.
It's a good road going up to that place.
Yeah, it is. It is a good road.
Yeah.
We don't hear that very often, good road.
well, the two on both sides of it with no gravel on it the last
just keeps traffic down.
Yeah,
hopefully Google Maps doesn't take them down that other road that's just a little bit east.
Yeah, east or west.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been stuck a few times on both of them.
No, thank you very much, and good luck to you. Hopefully this is a big success for the area.
Hopefully. Yeah, we're planning on it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
All right.
Would anyone else like to speak in support or opposition to this project? Going once. We don't have anyone else signed up. Going twice. Anyone like to speak in support or opposition? If not, I'd ask for a motion to come out of public hearing at 9:26.
Motion come out of hearing.
Second.
Moved by Swavely, second by Schuler. And I'll make a correction. Juergen's switch was just still on abstain, not on no on the way in. Please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Go back to regular agenda. Luke with NACO, and I'm sorry, if you give us your last name, I can say Juergens and Miller, and I wasn't sure of the pronunciation on that.
You know, it's Bonkowicz.
Bonkowicz?
Yes, but I generally just go by Luke just because it's so much easier that way.
Well, I appreciate your patience.
Yes, of course, of course. Hey, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Luke Bonkowicz, and I'm with NACO, and I am a registered lobbyist, but my main role at NACO is a research analyst. So any data that NACO needs, anything we need to talk to senators, the governor's office, you know, other organizations about, that's kind of routed through me. And I can talk about that at length at another time. But the reason I'm here today is just to give some general NACO updates. And I have to say that a lot of what we had to update you about, you guys are already doing, such as Emily's great work on grants. So I'm going to go through these. I know that you have a very packed agenda. I'm going to be as expedient as possible. Please feel free to jump in, interrupt me with any questions. First of all, district meetings, as you know, they're in full swing. Southeast was March 14th. We also have the county board workshop open June 12th to 13th. And we are accepting nominations for Outstanding County Board Members of the Year. Those applications are now open. NACO West is set to open fall of 2024. That is the building that we are constructing out in Ogallala, Nebraska. And we are tentatively planning to have the legislative conference at the new building in October of 24. And as a reminder, the purpose of this expansion was not expansion for the sake of expansion. It really was to better serve our folks out west. It's very easy for me and the rest of NACO to get down here to Gage County. It's a little bit more difficult, especially with our benefit services folks, to get out to Morrill, Dawes County, so on and so forth. And so that's the purpose of that expansion out there. The scholarship applications close March 15th. Just a reminder, this is the scholarship program that began in 1999, and it's open to graduating seniors whose parent, step-parent, or grandparent is a current county official or employee. Scholarships are available for 1 year. They are non-renewable, and students must attend a post-secondary educational institution within the state of Nebraska. New NACO employees. Greg Mooney is our benefit specialist. He started in February as part of our westward expansion. As I mentioned, we'll have an Ogallala office. We will have various tenants in that office as well, but Greg will be out there to serve the western half of Nebraska. You may know that Judd does a whole lot of driving all over Nebraska, and so we're looking to kind of carve up the state into different districts, and they can serve both of those. One of the biggest things we talk about data, one of the biggest things that we are coming out with this summer is our county employee salary study. We have done this in the past. We're offering something new this year. Currently, we are working with Zelle to collect, clean, and analyze data and then generate two final products. The first is going to be a final report. And this final report will have specific information about employee salaries and benefits. One of the things that people frequently call me about and call NACO about is we're posting this position, but we're not really sure what to pay this person. We have a general range, but we'd like to know what our neighbors are doing. So a lot of times I'll give the example of law enforcement. I'm prior law enforcement, so I'm kind of familiar with that. A lot of times sheriffs will give me a call and say, hey, listen, I just posted a position for a deputy, and I'm not exactly sure what I should be paying them per hour and what the benefits should be, so on and so forth. And what we're hoping to do is with this data that we are collecting with Zelle is to be able to put out a report that gives different positions and it gives ranges. So if you want to be in the 50th percentile, the 70th percentile, and this will help with recruitment and retention. The second thing that we're going to produce is a searchable database that can be used to make comparisons across counties. So for example, if you're hiring, again, maybe a sheriff's deputy, all right, you can put sheriff's deputy in there, you can click some boxes, and then based on your entries that you put, we can give you with this database a quick little snapshot of, okay, here are what deputies are being paid in your area, here are the comparable benefits, so on and so forth. And so we think that's going to be very, very useful to folks around the state for a variety of different positions, not just law enforcement, but clerks in the office, so on and so forth. With regard to that. And again, we're in the process of that. We hope to have that out this summer. Upcoming April is County Government Month, and this is an opportunity for counties everywhere to really highlight what they do for county residents. And I'm of the opinion that oftentimes county residents, not always, but sometimes, take for granted all the services that county government provides. And this is an opportunity to really list out those different services, how the county officials and county government takes care of their county residents. We are currently designing outreach and publicity materials demonstrating the numerous ways in which county government serves local residents. We have a part of our webpage that will be coming out so that you'll be able to direct county residents to. Cybersecurity update. This is our cooperative and state and local cybersecurity grant program. Excuse me, we have something about this on our website. Very briefly, we know that we've heard the concerns about people across the state of Nebraska, and they've said, hey, we're concerned about who owns our land, namely foreign adversaries who might be buying up land in Nebraska for various nefarious purposes. I will tell you that we've heard that concern, but in terms of the most direct threat to county government, it's going to be cybersecurity. So yes, there might be foreign adversaries buying up land or doing whatever they might do, but the real threat is going to be cybersecurity. And so what we've done is we're talking about this at our district meetings. We've been posting about it on the blog, about the cooperative. But what we've done is, with our IT partners, develop a list of 15 or 20 best practices that we're putting out to counties. And what we're hoping counties can do is take these best practices, take it to whoever manages your IT and say, are you doing these things? And is our network protected? Are we safeguarding all of our information resources? And if you are, great, the checklist is complete. If not, and if you want to shore up some things, there are some resources, some people that you can talk to do that. That's very, very important. We've already had counties hit. They've been hacked. Recently, we've had hospitals that were struck with ransomware, which is where a foreign adversary or whoever, and it might be a private, a black hat hacker comes in. They lock down your data, and you're forced to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars for them to turn back your data, to turn your data back over to you, if they ever do. So that really is a major threat, even though we might not think about it all the time. We wanted to remind you that the County Explorer, we talked about this at the district meetings last year and at the annual conference, that the County Explorer web pages, they are out. So every single county in Nebraska, we've built a web page for you, for your data. And so we don't expect you to carry around all the information and all the statistics about your county in your back pocket. That's just unreasonable. There's too many. What we do hope is you know about this website. So if someone wants to ask you about valuation, PILT payments, if they want to ask you about the unemployment rate, everything that you need to know data-wise about your county should be listed on this County Explorer webpage. It's divided into six different categories, including a county history. So what we're hoping is, instead of people going to Wikipedia or other places, those are fine websites, I'm not bad-mouthing them, we think that this website that we've designed for your county is a one-stop shop for all data and information about your county. It's very, very useful. We've already had county officials that have been reaching out to us saying, hey, can you remind me about this website and what it does, and will you add these sorts of things to it? The last thing I'll say about this, about the website, is there's a section in that website that features county programs. So if there's something spectacular that your county is doing that you want to brag about, get in touch with me. I will help you create that content. I will type it up. I will give it back to you so that you can vet it and approve it, and I will put it up on the website. All you have to do is, hey, we got something really cool going on in Gage County. Can you put it up on the website? I'll do the interviews. I'll do the writing of it. I'll give it to you guys to, or whoever's involved, so that they can review it and vet it, and we can get put up on the website. So just kind of putting that in your ear. Our weekly newsletters, just to keep abreast of everything that's going on, all things county. The 93 newsletter we put out the blog, and then we put out the legislative newsletter. Right now, the legislature is in full swing, and so I really think that legislative newsletter is very, very useful, because you don't necessarily have to read every line, but if there's a particular bill that you're interested in, they're highlighted in, there's links to it, and then it gives a really short snapshot of what's going on in the legislature. I won't touch too much on grants because you guys already seem to know about them, but I will say one thing. You don't need me to stand up here and tell you how exceptional Emily Haxby is, but I'm going to do so anyway, and I will tell you why. I have spoken with many counties, with many supervisors, with many commissioners, with many highway superintendents, and I will tell you that many people are shy about going after grants. I understand the risk of putting forth, as you talked about, Jefferson County, $80,000 for a consultant, and you might not get that grant. We've been telling people that, well, you're going to have to pay one way or the other. You're either going to have to pay a grant, or you're going to have to pay that in interest if you bond it. You know, you're going to have to pay the pickle man, right, in some way, some form. We've been encouraging people to go after grants. People are very shy about this, and so Emily really is the exception rather than the rule. And so, again, I just don't want you to take for granted the wonderful work that she and everyone else that in your county is doing, because there are many other counties which are simply saying, that sounds scary, that sounds too tough, we're just not going to do it. So, and Emily, just as a side note, I think that I might meet up with you later, maybe talk about, you know, your grant. We'd like to maybe showcase you in some form or fashion to say, hey, listen, you know, people in Gage County, they're doing this stuff. It absolutely can be done, and they did it without a consultant. And so saying Jefferson County used a consultant, they might still get that grant. They're going to reapply. Gage County didn't use a consultant, and they got their grant. So there are many, you know, there are many ways to put this together. So kudos to you, and keep going after those grants. The last thing I'll say is just to sort of round off the legislative updates, the biggest thing that's coming up in the legislature, there are many different things, we could talk all day about them, is LB 1067, and that has to do with the inheritance tax. I will tell you that NACO really hasn't entered into the discussion in terms of, you know, the philosophical debate about whether the inheritance tax is good or it's bad. We're sort of remaining agnostic about that. What we're trying to enter into the discussion is to say, okay, Senator, whoever it is, if you're for it or against it, and you want it to, or maybe you want it to go away, we're talking about replacement revenue. Because if the inheritance tax goes away, that's $100 million that's going to be removed from Nebraska counties at minimum. It's only going to go up over the next several years, the inheritance tax. That's a lot of money. I will also tell you that there may be the misperception out there that county government, county commissioners, supervisors, they're simply taking the inheritance tax and they're either spending it frivolously or saving it for unknown projects. And I am knee-deep in analyzing budgets. I've looked at Gage counties. I've looked at all the budgets in Nebraska, and I will tell you that is not the case. We are using it to repair courthouses. We are using it for handicap access. We are building bridges with it. I could go on and on and on. The main point is, if inheritance tax goes away, that could be, maybe not for some of the bigger counties, but for some of the smaller and mid-sized counties, Gage County, that could be a considerable financial hit. And so NACO is working on securing revenue replacement. I don't have a definitive update as to what LB 1067 looks like right now and the path that it's going to go, but I will tell you that we have talked to enough senators and we've talked to enough officials that this has given them pause and they've put the brakes on it. So instead of simply ramming this thing through and taking away the inheritance tax, now the discussion is, okay, time out. If we want to do this, we need to do it right. Where is the replacement revenue going to come from? That is all I have for NACO updates. I do understand that you have a very full agenda. I would entertain any questions right now with the understanding that I might need to get back to you if I don't have an answer. Any questions that I can answer right now?
Not at this time, I don't think.
Wonderful. Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure to be here, and I hope all my county visits go. It's tremendous here. Yes, go ahead.
I agree that you know that inheritance tax is important to. We've used it different ways. Okay, it's always been beneficial to the people of the county. Okay, whether it's for roads or whether it's for saving. A couple years we've saved taxes. Okay, we've drove down the limits. Okay, but. It's important, okay, and as far as the hacking that you talked about earlier in your comments, okay, it's happened here in Beatrice, so.
It is. It's a present threat. It has happened. I don't like to identify people because I don't want to, identify maybe a mistake or something that was made. And sometimes there's no mistakes that are made, but I think your point stands. It happens. It's going to happen again, and we just need to be prepared, so. That's one of the biggest threats in terms of, just logistics and financial things the counties are going to need to be thinking about. Okay. Seeing as nothing else, I'll just move on. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Before our next agenda item, we'll take a brief recess at 9:41.
Happy.
We're right on time too. We'll reconvene at 9:51 on the clock. Next item on the agenda is Ms. Dakota Hurley, Tourism Coordinator, to present the Visitor Improvement Grant for the Beatrice Cemetery Association, the amount of $25,000 to digitize their records.
Good morning.
Would you both give your names, I guess, state your names for the record?
Sure. Mitch Dinas, Beatrice, Nebraska.
Dakota Hurley, Gage County Tourism Coordinator.
Thank you. Take it away.
Okay. Mitch is coming in today for Beatrice Cemetery Association. They're looking to digitalize their records for the Evergreen and Scott Street Cemetery. The amount being requested is $25,000. It's a $70,000 project. I'll let Mitch just give a brief overview on kind of what they're looking to do and how it ties into tourism with the cemetery real quick. And then if you have any questions, let us know.
Thanks, Dakota. I was just about November of 22, I went out to the cemetery and to purchase some lots for our family. And found out that all the records since the late 1800s are on paper. And so it began the process for me of finding out how we can protect these records from fire or tornado or things like that. So found some cemetery software that will, it's explained in the paper that Dakota's handing out, but some software that will help us digitalize all those records in perpetuity. The cemetery itself doesn't have a lot of funds. In fact, we have a healthy bank account, but it's all in perpetual care, and we can't touch the principal of that money. So all we can make money off of is the sale of lots, opening and closing of graves, and then living off the interest of the money that we have in the bank. So we're not flush with cash, to speak of. So that brought us to the cemetery tourism bureau to talk about getting a grant to help digitalize these records. How does it affect tourism in Gage County? There are countless people every day that come into the cemeteries. We estimate between 8,000 to 10,000 visitors a year
doing family research, checking on their families. Right now, when they come to do that research, they have to call Chad Cleveland, who's our sexton. He has to dig back through all the paper records and try to find the answer and then go out and help them. So this will essentially, it will be on a website that they develop for us. You'll be able to type in your ancestor's name, put it on your phone, and you can walk right to the grave. So it's a really neat cemetery software system that's used all over the world. So that's our goal with this. It's a matching grant. We think that we have matched, if we are awarded this grant, we will have matched the $25,000. We will have to raise another $20,000 to purchase the software. And I have been in contact with some people that had some of the forefathers of this town. Their families have some foundations that I've reached out to, and they're very interested in the project to help us finish it. So I'd be happy to answer any questions if you have any.
I guess devil's advocate on this, if you can look this up online, wouldn't it hamper tourism coming in to look at
things?
People
will still come. Our goal is to work with the homestead, with the Historical Society. There's some renewed interest in a genealogical group here in town that's starting up again. So there are people that come to town that will spend the weekend to research their family. So
what was the total cost again?
$70,000.
And that covers just one cemetery, or?
That covers, so Beatrice has actually got Evergreen Home Cemetery and Memorial Park are located out on 33rd Street. The original cemetery is on Scott Street. Actually the original cemetery here in Beatrice was on Indian Creek out in Glenover. When that would flood, we would have caskets washing down the creek. So the city bought Scott Street and filled it up pretty quickly. They reinterred all those graves and filled that up, and that's when in like 1876 or something they bought the 80 acres out where Evergreen sits now.
I have a hard time picturing how the visitors part of this, like how it's going to bring in visitors. But if we would spend the $70,000 or import from the visitors fund, wouldn't it be better to include all cemetery databases? I mean, if it's GPS, the GPS can take you anywhere in the county.
In the county, the software is specific for a certain cemetery. There has been conversations with those folks to include all of that, but there's a cost to that. And maybe that's something that we can work in the future, but there's a cost to going to all the different cemeteries. I can't remember how many cemeteries in the county.
So Wymore is one.
There's a lot. I mean, there's 20
some cemeteries.
That was a question
that was asked in a tourism advisory meeting, is if it could expand to all the cemeteries within the county. And of course, Mitch says it could. It will increase the cost of the project itself. So to start the project, they're starting with the Beatrice, and then if other towns' cemeteries are interested, we could look into what it would take to add them as well.
Just going to say, if we're at like really $25,000, I'd hate to like see that be a singular use instead of spread out across the whole county.
Appreciate that comment. I just think that, you know, just the way the process is developed, you know, it's digitalization of the records that we have. So we have to get this in place at first. And once we do, I think that it'll, you talk about bringing people to town. People do come to town in June for Homestead Days. I don't know if you saw the Daily Sun last Thursday. They had a presentation for the elementary schools for on the Revolutionary War. In fifth grade, kids are studying that. So Mark and Nikki Byers came down. They're part of that Sons of the American Revolution. So in June, they're recognizing they're rededicating a lady that's interred there in Scott Street. They're dedicating another gal that's there, and then a gentleman by the name of Gilbert Cole is in the Evergreen Home Cemetery. He was a famous architect here in Beatrice, did the Civil War Memorial on the south side of the courthouse here. He's a son of the American Revolution, so they're going to have probably between 60 and 70 people coming in to do a ceremony on Homestead Day. So it does bring people to town. People are interested in this. But I do appreciate your comments about trying to spread this out over the whole county.
And I agree with that. I don't know if the abandoned cemeteries, if it costs quite a bit more for that we don't go with that. But I'd be interested to know what it would cost to do.
Yeah, and I can check on that.
Make a decision. I mean, I think it's great to be able to digitize it. Right. But I'd like to see all the cemeteries have it. Or if it's a step system, then what is that process and what's, you know. And have you spoke with any of the other cemetery officials to get their ideas?
I have not. I just started this project late last fall is when we started talking to Dakota.
So. Yeah. Well, thank you for doing this. I mean, I think it's certainly a worthwhile effort.
Thank you.
Mr. Dorn?
I'm on the Philly Cemetery Board, and we did it with our memorials and stuff like that, and we put in a directory, and we just got a map of the cemetery, and then you got to look in the book.
Right.
You couldn't do something like that.
Well, there's 18,000 people buried there. So, I mean, that's part of the problem. We've talked about that, and that's been batted around in the past, but it's just, it would take them, it would be a big deal. So once this is done, it's done.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask, if there's any maintenance updates or anything that you know of at this time, additional costs.
There's a cost that we will $2,500 or $3,000 a year to maintain the database, which we'll fundraise to do. I think, you know, once we get this done, it'll be ongoing. But we talked about the kiosk, and it was overwhelming. I just don't know how you can keep it up.
I see there's a $7,000 computer here. The way we look at those, you know, those are a 5 to 7 year item all the time. The $63,000 for software, who's going to upload all that then? I mean, usually the biggest expense is in.
That's included in.
So that's not a software cost then. That's your onboarding, your everything.
That's the total package for them to do that. We talked about having. I mean, it's inputting 18,000 records into scanning, and once this process is in place,
it breaks it down more.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. I think the quote explains all that, but
yeah.
And yes, I'm sorry.
So, and right now, what happens when somebody calls to research? I mean, you basically go out there. Chad says, "Where do you want to be buried?" You go look at a place. You go back in, and he's got a big cardboard map, and with names written on who's buried everywhere. And then it takes 15, 20. It's a lot of. So now, once you call and say, "I'd like to do this," he opens up a file. Everything is just right there. So it just really helps
that
the process.
That matches Blue Spring Cemetery. I went through that, and it's just outdated system.
A question I would have, talking about Blue Springs, we're in charge of multiple cemeteries that are abandoned, basically, of course, where there is no sexton or new sales. How do we justify giving money to an actively open business where we pick one? I guess just from us being a public entity, mm-hmm. How do we justify giving money to a business and choosing one out of all the cemeteries?
I don't know how I can answer that, Eric.
That's just, you know, things are going through my mind.
No one else has even started this process. You've got to start somewhere, right?
Mr. Schultz?
Well, my thoughts are that we ask of the active cemeteries. Some of them may not be interested because of the extra costs, because we're not making a commitment for continued maintenance. We're just helping, we're being asked to help get it established.
Right.
And some of these cemeteries, and for example, Eddie's, they've already spent money on what they have, and a small cemetery may choose not to.
Right.
But, so I would like to know what cemeteries are interested, and then go from there. There may only be two or three more that's actually interested.
Right.
And then we've been fair to everybody. Then we'd have to make a decision then, okay, if we can't justify spending all this at once, you know, that we pretty much make a commitment that we will, as funds allow, help with others.
I will tell you there's $423,000 in visitor improvement fund.
Yeah. And which I'm is just speaking in general terms, but yes, I mean that. But we would know what our costs were for the cemeteries that are interested and are willing to make the commitment. And to me, that seems like a fair way to go for the county to look at it. But that's why I do appreciate you taking the steps to, and obviously Evergreen is overwhelming.
Mr. Swavely.
Somebody has to start the ball rolling. Yeah. Is the only way I look at it, okay? And if we invest the $25,000, okay, and anybody else that wants to join has to take up it on their own. If Blue Springs or anybody else or Wymore or if there's a cemetery in Odell, if they want to join the crowd, then they have to pick up whatever it's going to cost to enter theirs into the system. The system would be big enough to hold how many? Do you have an idea?
Oh,
is it infinite?
Yes.
Okay. So, I mean, we get it started, that's all. So,
Ms. Haxby.
That actually touches on what I was looking at here. It looks like a lot of these are modules, license agreements, mapping, designs of the actual hosting site. The only singular thing that would be based on the that would be an added would be the additional modules, hours, billed at 200 an hour, but that's like to input. And it says here that this is they're estimating at 20,000 graves. They're charging $19,000. That's 95 cents a grave, roughly. But, I mean, that would be your additional cost to add more. And so there would be a cost, but everything else is going to be there anyway. And
so it would be a matter of going to those.
It'd be a matter of going to those and looking.
Are you interested?
Would you like a buck dollar a grave to be on this system, which if it's GPS, you can take it anywhere, right? Like, so open to the idea, but I'd like to like talk to the other ones too. Yeah. If we're going to spend that the dollar, I mean, great start, but this could be easily spread out across the entire gauge.
The backup on this, you know, you said perpetually protected this way, because right now paper logs, I mean, we're scared to death with our old records, you know, from the beginning of time. Is this something that's stored on, I assume, multiple locations on the cloud, but then also some type of hardware that you actually have that's safeguarded as well?
So there's no server. It's all up on the cloud. So they're backing that up. If we lose our computer here, it's backed up. And right now we're not backing up anything. The records are sitting in a file cabinet.
Which is probably very common with any of these cemeteries,
probably.
I bet.
Yeah. I mean, that's what got me started on this thing. It's like, there's a lot of history here that is gone. I mean, all of the receipts are handwritten still, and they're on a big, everything is.
And I'd like to add, the tourism advisory sees this project as historical preservation more, and the historical significance of what it involves and brings to the communities. That's really, like, those were where they were touching their questions on what can you add in, what can it do. Some things that were discussed is the fact that you can kind of go and do tours for cemeteries. Those are a huge thing right now, actually, is either your famous people or family lineage and those types of things. And from my understanding, the software can also do like a veterans type tour where it can highlight those veterans and stuff and things like that. So that's kind of where the Tourism Advisory Committee was asking questions and seeing the value
for tourism.
We have no way of, and to that point, we have no way of recognizing how many veterans are buried in our cemetery right now. Once we digitalize this and find that out, there are other sources of funds out there from the Veterans Bureau to help us honor those veterans.
Is this the only software program that you looked at? Are there others?
No, we've looked at three. Like I said, we started working on this back in October, November, had numerous Zooms back and forth, and just this is the best one. They're all about the same price. This just seemed to fit what we were doing. There's a big accounting part of this that's available, which we don't have. We're still doing our books by hand. So we can incorporate QuickBooks, and that'll fill in the back end of this. The other ones didn't have that opportunity, so that was a big part of it, too.
It would almost be beneficial to get more cemeteries to sign on, because you could split your annual costs.
If they'd be interested. I mean, I think they're all in the same. Eddie, you can speak to. I don't know how well funded. We had a meeting last night just talking about a cemetery over toward Don Junker's family's buried over toward Fairbury somewhere, and they survive completely on donations. They don't have any money, and I think that's the way most of the cemeteries are around the area. I can't speak for Wymore or Blue Springs, but.
This is not a moneymaker, you're saying?
This is not a moneymaker. I'm just trying to keep things. I just think there's so much there that if we lose this, I mean, boards have a fiduciary responsibility to take care of things, and I told our board, I said, when there's a catastrophe, the public is going to look at us and go, well, surely you had that backed up, didn't you? No, we don't. So.
Do you have carbon paper?
That's what we're doing right now, Don. I mean, when we do a receipt, it's carbon
paper. Carbon paper, yeah, that's pretty old-fashioned.
Well, and we couldn't even do deeds here for the last 3 months because we were doing deeds on an electric typewriter, and our typewriter broke. Nobody fixes electric typewriters anymore, so we've had to figure out that, so...
Johnny's Welding can fabricate pieces.
All right, I think it's an important thing for our county to move the ball forward, like Dave said.
I would love to see some of our abandoned cemeteries have information like this because they are sinking back into the grass. And once that information is gone, I don't know where you'd even start with that information because those are... You know, you might add 100 years to those still. Mm-hmm. And that information, once it's gone, when I was reading through this, the obituaries and stuff, you're probably not going to find that.
Right.
But maybe, I don't know if they research that or if they just take your documents.
So they're going to scan our documents in, but then there's an opportunity for family members to add in obituaries. So, I mean, it's really, on the public side, it's really, really interactive. But you're right. I mean, my family's from Western Kansas, and you know the country church, the cemeteries, everybody's buried there, and it's maintained by people that were my dad's age, that are 85 years old. There's no young people in the church anymore. So when those folks are gone, who's going to take care of that? Because my generation, our generation, that's not something that
we're
not a wow factor to it.
Yeah.
So.
And we're not getting younger. Anything? Any other questions for Mitch or Dakota?
I'll comment. I'd like to see the abandoned cemeteries covered. I agree with you, and there's historical value there.
Yep.
But there's active cemeteries like the Odell Catholic Cemetery. Yep. I have no idea what their funding's like, but I doubt that they could afford. And on the abandoned cemeteries, who covers that cost? So how do you fairly
families.
Do we do it? So, but
I'll tell you who's responsible for them.
We are. Yeah. So that's why.
That's a great point too, Don. Because I think we've got to get this thing started. I have no problem going around. I mean, that's kind of what I've been doing, is just going around and trying to drum up interest in this. I have no problem going to all those cemeteries because I like history and genealogy, so it's not.
I'd volunteer to contact the cemeteries in my district.
Yep.
I mean, like Wymore, Blue Springs, Barnston.
Yep.
But we have to get it rolling, and if somebody wants to, one of the extra outside cemeteries want to get onto it, it costs a buck for each person that's in there, okay, to get them added to the registry, and that's, you know, it's just a matter of giving them the information, and they put it into the.
I would guess that that's the bones. There's probably going to be some more gravy on top of that before a buck a grave.
But well,
for each one, because of the mapping, it sounds like there's a topo mapping. There's a little more to it than that, but.
Well, but you got GPS on your computer. You pick it up, you pick the site out. You tell them where it's at. It goes bink, there you are. Okay, so I mean, there's where Dave Swavely is.
Mr. Schuler.
Mitch, I mean, and I don't want to leave out Liberty Cemetery.
Sure,
that's another very
sure.
important one, and there's others. But thing is, if I contact them, I don't have the information like you do.
Sure, I'd be willing, be more than happy to do that.
Okay.
I just feel like we need to, like Dave said, we've got it, at some point, we've got to make the jump to get this started. I'm asking for this. We're asking for this money, and then I've already got the matching. If we get this, and then, like I said, I've got to call the Westons and the people like that, and the Kilpatricks, and I already have, and they're interested. They're just sitting here waiting to see what happens.
Okay.
Any other questions for Dakota or Mitch?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you both. Dakota, I would like to see, too, I've heard of some other project requests like trees down at the boat ramps, things like that for tourists that are coming in. If we could take a look at those things, too, the things that directly affect tourism. I'm not sold on this bringing in tourists, but I don't know how all this works. Mitch really got me on this one, on the perpetuation of the documents. I would hate to try to dig up some of the documents on these abandoned cemeteries where we're seeing 1700s on them, but I'm sure that information is incredibly interesting. But we do have some, you know, other projects like that too. Anything else for Dakota? All right. Do you have anything else for us on this?
I do not, no.
All right, we'll keep moving then. You're up on the next one too.
Approve. I don't have a report for you till next month.
Nope, not on that one. We actually have approve or disapprove visitor improvement grant for Beatrice Cemetery Association in the amount of $25,000. I pulled that one off of there.
Okay, thank you. I'll be back next month.
Mr. Jurgens.
I think this would be a great place to start. I make a motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Jurgens, second by Swavely. Any additional discussion on this item? Saw you couldn't hold it in.
Trying to think of the best way to phrase it.
Say it how it is.
What's the motion again?
Motion is to approve the grant for the visitor improvement grant to the Beatrice Cemetery Association in the amount of $25,000 as requested.
I just want to say, with the stipulation that all other cemeteries, abandoned or others, are included, or could be included, or given the opportunity to, because I mean, the majority of this cost, as I said, is the software. It's the software. It's the backup. It's having that. And so if this is going towards that concept, then allowing the uptake for others.
Mr. Dinas, would you have any issue with, or would the Cemetery Association have any issue with other cemeteries tying into this?
No. And like I said, I will pledge my time to go around and do that. I'll need help finding who to contact and those kinds of things. But
we also can't require them to do things for the other cemeteries, but what you're saying is, would they be willing to allow the other ones to tie on to this system without additional cost?
Yeah, because if we're
other
gonna,
than their specific costs.
I can't promise that without talking to them. I don't know the
answer
to that.
The other thing, they can make an application to the tourism for a grant.
That's what I was going to say, Roger. If this thing goes like we think it's going to, there could be another application submitted for the surrounding cemeteries, get some kind of a cost so we know what we're doing, and I've got no problem with that either. That seemed like a win-win there to me.
If they could tie in, though, you wouldn't care if they just paid their specific costs to tie in? Because if we could have one system, that'd be great.
It'd be easier for finding a heritage thing, and this is $25,000. Are we gonna do that for every single one? It'd be more cost effective, easier to have it and tie it all into one system. It
makes sense to use the biggest database, if you will, as the center of it.
And that's fine. I just want to make sure gonna spend $25,000 on this concept that we're inviting, like, the whole county, not just a singular place.
How urgent is it for you to get started with and get funded?
Next storm or next fire.
Just don't know when the next storm is going to be.
This isn't like in a little metal temporary building out standing in the cemetery, is it?
Do you know where Chad lives?
Yeah, right
property
next to
there?
The,
right,
next.
Yeah.
That's where our office is. So it's in that office.
It's just part of the house.
There's also a little temporary metal building out there. I was just thinking,
no,
I hope it's not out in that.
They're at least in his where he lives. Okay. But.
Yeah, it's by his Corvette.
I have a quick
question.
You
had to go there, didn't you?
Yeah, you did.
If I definitely understand Haxby's point, and also I do think it'll cost more than a dollar. Like the mapping itself is going to cost a little bit for each other cemetery. I find that maybe if that's the route we want to go, and I definitely think that's the best way to handle it, is to maybe encourage them to actually increase their requesting amount if they're going to carry the majority of the cost of this. If they could find more matching funds and kind of increase what they're asking, because if it's only going to cost other cemeteries a tiny little bit to jump on, it's kind of... they're carrying the majority of the load already.
Well, if somebody else wants to get on, they're going to have to pay a cost to it. I mean, I don't mean just the dollar to, but they're going to have to invest something else besides just the dollar to get, you know, whatever the numbers were that we come up with. Okay, they're going to have to invest something else. We're going to invest $25,000. If they have to invest $1,000 or $1,500 besides the dollar for each person in the cemetery, that's, you know, that to me would be very worthwhile doing.
But we're also looking at how they're going to run their operations. I mean, that we don't want to get into how the Beatrice Cemetery Association conducts their business, though, either.
Well, that's my concern, is if we could wait a little bit longer to see if anybody else wants in on it so that they share in this cost, the initial cost that you're incurring.
My fear is that this software company is a for-profit organization, and they're not going to do it for free.
No.
So
right.
I think what our opportunity here is to get the thing going, and then going back to that company and saying, look, there's 15 other cemeteries within 30 miles of here, but there will be a cost to that. And then it's on those cemeteries to say, we're not doing that.
And I think it's very fair to look at it that way. I mean, this is a business. It's not a charity. I mean, UNICEF might come in and look at it differently, but people have to keep the lights on, too. No?
It's in a brick building.
No, I get it. I'm just trying to... I would rather have the answers up front when I make a decision versus we could look at it later. So that's more my...
I can almost guarantee you there's going to be more than a 95-cent cost for those other cemeteries.
Probably, but I just want to see what that would look like for additional cost and what that would be. And
but you the Beatrice Cemetery Association, and I know you can't speak for all of them, but I guess it sounds like that's what we would ask. If we can tie into it, we being other cemeteries or abandoned cemeteries or anything, without any additional cost, you'd welcome them in on that system if there is a savings.
I can say almost unequivocally that our board would not have a problem with that. And again, I'm interested in this, not just for Beatrice, but for preserving history. And there's a lot of history.
I think the concept is great, right? And I think we would be the board for abandoned because I think we have the thing over that, right? But and we'd be interested too. I just would want to see what the cost would be. I would like to ask them that or see before we put this out, and then what it would be if we how we're spreading those dollars, if it's enough, if it's because to put that on every single individual little one, like I know the people sitting on our cemetery association, that might not be something they'd want to try to tackle to get a grant. As people said before, grants are not always fun. So,
the most efficient and the best way to approach this to cover the whole county?
But I'll just remind you, they're looking at their cemeteries. We look at the county because that's what we do. Just keep in mind, they're looking at their cemetery. That's what they do.
Right, but we're also looking at 25,000 too. And so just want to make sure that we're thinking about the whole thing. So.
We have to start someplace. I mean, I agree with Terry that this, I think we should start with it and then see what happens. Who else wants to roll into it?
Does it sound right to add, say, with plans for further consideration of other cemeteries? I mean, or is it necessary? You were looking for words.
I wasn't.
I think once the word gets out.
I was talking to him.
I think once the word gets out, people will come and ask questions about it, want to find out about it, and then the incurred costs for that extra will come out because nobody knows right now what it would take to put these other cemeteries into it.
That's what I'm saying. I would like to see those with the money that were expended. It's just I'd like to have more information before I vote.
Isn't going to save us any more money now other than just to prolong the startup of it, okay? So.
And each cemetery themselves, or like you said, since the county oversees the abandons, their nonprofit board would have to bring the application to tourism, themselves, each individual one. Because it has to be the 501.
That's what I'm saying is that's hard. I mean, you're fortunate here with people that a big board that's willing to do it and can work with it and has experience or whatever. But there's a lot of that aren't or won't. And so, trended.
I can tell you, looking at our board, the average age of our board is 80, probably. And they're not particularly interested in it as much as I am. So I have a fear that and I'll gladly go around all those cemeteries, but I have a fear that it's going to take too much work for them to be doing it, and I know there's going to be a cost. So, again, I fall on the side of let's move this thing forward in some manner, and then I will work with you to go around. And these guys will have a Zoom with anybody that wants to. To tell them how it works.
And Emily, I agree with you, but each of those separate associations, they have to decide that they want to do that too. If we're going to do it for one, I agree. We always try to be as broad and fair as possible. It's just that's their decision if we would talk to or if we wouldn't talk to them. If someone would talk to them and say, hey, do you want to come on board with this? They may say, go fly a kite. We don't want to do it. That's each of those organizations' choice.
Well, doing this individually with every single one you're paying a licensed software. I mean, every single time, that's not even feasible. It's not going to happen. But by helping fund this part with the ability to add on, depending on the cost, I'm just trying to think, is 25 enough if we do all of it? And that's why I'd like to see the information before. I'm trying to mentally decide whether it's a no today because I don't have the information, or...
I agree. I think that if an organization is willing to take the initiative themselves and bring it here, that we shouldn't hinder their process because we would like other people to get involved. And I'm willing to have those conversations as well, especially Blue Springs and Weimar. Those are easy conversations for me to have and reach out to those people that would... potentially maybe be interested. Swavely says.
We're going to have a lot of media coverage too, with Quibi and
If they want to jump on board, they can. I don't think it should stop.
Get me off the front page.
We'll try to say something good.
What if every cemetery said no? They'll think the
that's what they want.
Any horses buried at any of these cemeteries?
They got one place picked up for me.
We have a motion, Mr. Juergens, to approve the improvement grant for $25,000 as requested, and the second by Swavely. Additional discussion on this item. Seeing none.
I just need a second. I'm thinking.
I thought I heard something.
You want to flip a switch, and right now I'm teetering on the no part, so just give me a second. I'd love to have more information. It's hard to, because once we hit yes, there's no, we vote, we're done. So,
I would, if I can say something, Emily, I agree with you, but I think it's good to move forward to get this process started.
I'm just weighing my yes or no right now.
Can I give you a piece of candy?
Yeah, do I flip a coin?
Juergens is looking antsy.
I know. He's probably going to start kicking me over here.
He's twirling his thumbs.
Cheddar, get off the pot. Oh.
All right, we have a motion and a second.
That'll
no
go
additional
on your
discussion.
Headstone.
Please vote. Five in favor, with Haxby voting, abstaining, and no.
I don't know how that
happened. Voting no.
Yeah.
Motion carries. Thank you both,
appreciate
and we'll see
it.
How this goes forward.
Yep, I'll be in touch.
Mine's not
okay.
A, like, wasn't a no. I just didn't have
no,
all
I
the information.
That,
so I don't.
Thank you
both.
For your feedback, Emily.
We'll move on to Ms. Krackenmeyer, the Executive Director of Engage, for the quarterly report.
Yeah, rush my decision. It's going to be a no.
We are not going to do Dakota Hurley's presentation of the tourism report. That'll be on our following meeting.
Fun fact, since we're all having a great time, I just saw something that referred to mashed potatoes as Irish guacamole. So you sit on that and enjoy that for the rest of the day. Share with all of your friends. I'll make this brief. I'm a little tardy on my quarterly report for quarter two of the current fiscal year. So we are talking about months of October through December of 2023. And the work that was done during that time. So in your packet, something I just thought that this group would find interesting is the report from the state that talks about commuter trends and that information. It's the labor availability and hiring needs report. So it talks about where our people are working, the number of people that live in Beatrice and travel out for work, the number of people that live outside of Beatrice and travel in. So just some interesting data to share and something to think about as we continue our efforts to help develop and retain a strong, skilled workforce in the area. Some highlights you'll see on the inside front cover of the report is the Communities for Kids initiative continues to go forward. We, during this time frame in this report, we wrapped up the what's called the PDG grant, so the preschool development grant. We had 86% of providers throughout Gage County participate in that program, which provided training opportunities for them to provide new services to the families that they serve, things like taking care of special needs kids and those types of things, as we heard from Mr. Merkel earlier. That totaled a fund sent directly to child care providers throughout the county of $105,000. And we are still operating two grants currently. One will end at the end of April, and one will end at the end of June. And part of our strategy moving forward is the goal to shift some of that work to a nonprofit that Engage is creating off of funds that we have acquired through the grants. So this is not Engage funding. Or our private investor funding that is operating that. This is money off of some of the grants for administrative costs. We are not reimbursing any of Engage's work on this. So that's sitting there and working through creating this nonprofit.
The nonprofit will have a board of directors, so we are looking for people, experts in the child care and early childhood education realm, that have a passion for ensuring that our children and our next generation of workforce have that high quality care and education in those years of 0 to 5. So we're excited about the opportunities that nonprofit can do moving forward. We are preparing for the spring career fair that's hosted at Beatrice Public Schools. So we are actively working with businesses to attend that and promote job shadowing opportunities, internship opportunities, summer seasonal work opportunities to our high school students. Again, another effort to hopefully retain them in this area. We have a wide variety of industries and businesses represented and even bleed into neighboring counties. So great opportunity there to showcase what opportunities are here throughout Gage County. Otherwise, we continue to visit with businesses and things like that. I often say 80+% of what I do on a daily basis is supporting existing businesses that we have here. Some of that, I had a conversation with Emily just a little while ago about getting businesses connected to the broadband initiatives that have been happening. They experience difficulties in getting payment for their services and products that they provide, and broadband is impactful for that. So we're working to help support them and get connected to the people they need to be connected to ensure that they can stay afloat. So we continue to do what are called BREs, business retention and expansion visits. So we talk to businesses about what their pain points are and what we can do to help and those types of things moving forward. So I will take any questions with that.
We have heard businesses have trouble getting other fiber in Beatrice, that Beatrice has not allowed other fiber companies to come in other than Pinpoint. Do you know anything about that, or any truth or non-truth to that?
I do not have any information on that.
Go to the city board meeting, then you know.
Well, I thought maybe Rachel would know.
Just more of a comment. Thank you because I would say Rachel's helped me get support letters, wrote some from Engage themselves, so thank you.
Yeah, and on the record, too, I greatly applaud Emily and her efforts in acquiring and applying for a lot of these grants. Phenomenal work. Through Engage, we've applied, and it's a lengthy process, and the reporting work that goes in on the back end is not easy either. That's why people hate grants, but they're a necessary evil. And they save counties and businesses lots of money. So thank you for your efforts, and we're happy to support on any moving forward.
She helped me get a lot of the other ones, too, just making contacts that I didn't have to get those done. So,
yep. Do you have any additional good news you can tell us, anything that the public can see coming on the horizon?
Things as far as projects, business recruitment, those types of things, it's an interesting time. There's still lots of projects coming down the pike. They're getting larger, more substantial. People used to see, and I'm still relatively new and young in this industry. A large project used to be maybe $100 million. I don't think I've seen one under $250 to $500 million since I've started. Just the stature and gravity of these projects is absolutely insane, 800 to 900 employees. So I would encourage the public to really think about if we really want to grow Beatrice's business base and our economic base, it's going to take a lot of people to do so. So we have to really work and focus on what infrastructure we need now, which is housing and childcare. To be able to handle an influx of employees if we want to recruit certain types of businesses and power. Power is the other. Infrastructure is just hard, and a $5.4 million grant can only do so much, and we probably could use 10 of those and just get to a good foundation moving forward.
So being really strategic, you know, that's kind of what our goal is there. But we've got a lot of good things coming. You know, the Jimmy John's project is moving forward. We're in the process of planning a groundbreaking for that, so we're very excited. Everybody loves new options in the food and restaurant industry. So we're excited about that moving forward. And the data centers in the industrial park they're moving forward in their construction phase, so hopefully they'll be up and running here very soon. So.
I know a lot of people don't go to the industrial park. I was never there until we put up a building there, but good expansion in the industrial park. We've got new ownership there buying additional businesses, expanding those businesses, bringing businesses from Lincoln and Texas into our Gage County Industrial Park. It's great to have a restaurant, but people don't think of that as growth, really. They see it as just another service industry, but those are important. Mm-hmm. I'll say behind the scenes, Engage is working to connect people. So you've got product A and you've got need B, and that's what Engage does a lot behind the scenes, is just connect the dots that people may not be able to connect or may not know exist at that time. So although those big projects are really important and we do need those and they are underway, it's all the little connections that actually make the wheel go around all the time. So thank you for that. You've been very good in this role so far, so we look forward to seeing what you bring us next.
Sounds great.
Can you get a hoo-ha, please?
Yeah, right alongside. Somebody said it to me once. Can you just get an Applebee's? We're just looking for consistently okay. yeah, it's just restaurants are hard.
Texas Roadhouse.
They are. It's a risky business.
How about a Sizzler?
Trampoline.
Do they have those still?
Oh, like an indoor.
Indoor. Yeah.
You know, I'll get right on that, Don. Just
Did
for
you.
Say
a trampoline place.
Yeah.
Yeah. I enjoy those.
I bet.
Do you really go out and bounce in those?
Need a hit.
Well, sure.
I guess that ensures BCH will be here for a long time.
My grandkids do.
They are fun.
We travel somewhere, we gather. As we have grandkids, Colorado, Missouri, and Lincoln. And it's good to be able to take the kids. Family likes to go to one of those, what do you call them?
Like an indoor funplex kind of thing.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. Laser
part
tag
of bringing,
and
part
trampolines.
Of bringing people in. That I mean, that is all brought up all the time.
The comment I would make on that is placemaking. You know, that's how we're kind of promoting that throughout the realm of economic development is communities need to do placemaking because it's a way to keep people and retain people in their local areas is you have to have attractive places. You have to have activities for them to do because people need a place where they can socialize, have fun, and connect with others. It's the feeling that those places bring, not so much the amenities themselves, you know, the Jimmy John's and things like that. It's what people do with that meal and where they go after that type of thing. Having a place to go like Kayla's downtown, like Stone Hollow. That's why those places are frequented so much is because of the feeling that they provide someone in a community that they're in. So there's a lot of funding out there for placemaking projects, and we've partnered with the city, and I'd be happy to partner with any other village throughout the county that is interested in doing projects like that because, like it or not, they are critical and necessary to keeping communities thriving moving forward. Same with parks and those types of things.
Right.
You've got to invest in them.
We have a variation of weather here, and you know, I think for young families, those places are a draw.
Yep.
And by the way, I think Wymore is a good place to put it.
You bet. And we are, you know, I think
15 minutes down the road.
I know. And to be quite honest, I think you know, villages are doing a really great job. I've seen a shift in people who are participating in committees and groups that are all about moving their small communities forward. You know, I've met with folks from Odell. I've met with, you know, the Village of Adams, you know, earlier this month. Why more folks? people really want to start moving and shaking their smaller communities, and they're reaching out and asking for help. And so I can come into these communities and help them plan and strategize on what's your first step. Because a lot of them, you know, they need housing too. They need childcare too. It's a question of what's your top project that you need to achieve? What is your biggest need? And don't just decide that as a group, but get feedback from the community. And I can help with those things. So I think people are understanding now, again, it's a connector of people and resources. If you know who to ask, I can get them connected with the people that they need to know and be connected with to have access to those resources.
Some of these people don't know what they need, though, to start with.
Yes.
And then I still say the best way to lower taxes, to help grow communities, is to bring business in. And if you bring business in, you bring in employees, you bring in paychecks, you bring in homeowners, you bring in active people in the communities with kids that go to our schools. So we'll continue to work towards that. Some of these meetings are really exciting as meetings can be. But seeing the potential for some of these communities, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Anything else for Ms. Krackemeyer? Thank you.
Eric, I'll just comment that, you know, some people maybe don't or shun or large businesses, but I think they also help enhance the small businesses because it brings in more employees, more people, and it can spread from there.
Mm-hmm.
We were just talking yesterday, the governor was talking about a bean processing plant in, well, there's two of them that AGP's bringing up, and he was talking about the margin on the beans in that area. 40-cent increase, 40-cent plus increase in the bean margin. We've talked about another plant that could, you know, potentially kick corn prices up 50 cents. Ms. Haxby was standing next to me. We were talking about that bean crushing plant, and it's like, that's what we need here. It's like, you're exactly right. We need not just that. We need multiple things, though, and mm-hmm. Without a better way to say it, you're throwing a lot of darts at the wall all the time trying to hit a target, and it's tough to hit that target, but we keep getting closer and we're going to keep throwing darts.
Yep. And the more we do, the more we can promote what we've got going on. It's kind of like what Director Baylitz talked about at the Engage annual meeting last month, is we got to get better about bragging about ourselves. The governor's made the same comment and rhetoric. We have to promote the good things that we have going on. It will help give us that pin on the map to set us apart, just like other larger communities have. So I encourage all of you, share those amazing stories. I know we're not great braggers. That's something I have to tell myself all the time. I'm terrible about bragging, but we have to. So we just do the work. So that's a great thing about us, but let's brag about it. Because we are awesome. We do have it going on. And people are noticing. So thank you for all of your efforts. Anything else?
I think you're free. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd ask for a motion to put the
report on file.
Second.
Moved by Swavely, second by Dorn. Please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. Approve or disapprove interlocal agreement to create the Southeast Region a separate entity to provide for cooperative public safety services by and among the counties of Cass, Gage, Fillmore, Jefferson, Johnson, Lancaster, Nemaha, Otoe, Pawnee, Richardson, Saline, Seward, Thayer, and York. This agreement shall have a term of 5 years from final date of execution by all parties to the agreement, unless earlier terminated pursuant to the terms of the agreement.
Motion to approve.
Second. Moved by Juergens, second by Swavely. Ms. Wiegand.
So this was reviewed by Roger in his office. He looked at the investment justification projects. Nebraska is sectioned off into 8 different districts, which allows FEMA funding to come in, which we write the projects for. So nothing new. This is, I think, the third time. This would be the third agreement that you have approved. So, but, yeah.
Very similar to the past agreements, just cleaned up some typographicals and clerical.
Yep. And the most important part is this, is it's the teamwork between the 14 county areas. So last night we had a fire in Nemaha, County and also in Jefferson County, and so we were all in constant communication with each other to share what resources we had that have been purchased by the FEMA funding. So that's what this agreement allows us to continue to do. So thank you.
Thanks, Lisa. Any discussion on this? A lot less than the last item. Please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. Approve or disapprove recommendation on special designated license for St. Paul's Evangelical Lutheran Church, Congregation of Beatrice, for a wine, ale, spirit tasting fundraiser on April 26, 2024 at the Red Barn Farm, 1038 West Sargent Road, Beatrice, Nebraska, 68310. We have a statement from the county sheriff. They're fully aware of this application and do not oppose the issuance of a special designated license.
Move to approve.
Second. Okay.
Go ahead, Swavely.
We'll pass this around. Everyone needs to sign that for that last item. We have a motion by Axby, second by Swavely. Any discussion? Seeing none, please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. Approve or disapprove sending a letter to Windstream stating intent to not renew lease but to acquire services on a month-to-month basis for our current phone system.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, second by Swavely. This, of course, will just not re-extend our current agreement but will allow us to go to month-to-month as we look at other options. Any questions or discussion on this item? If not, please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. We'll all have to sign that last one for the interlocal agreement for the 14-county area. That that will bring us to a closed session for personnel. Is there anything else prior to
recess?
You want a quick recess, Eddie?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Prior to going into closed session, we will take a brief recess at 10:50.
I better go, too. It's old guys.
Well, we will reconvene at 10:55 on the clock. I'd ask for a motion to go into closed session for a discussion on personnel at 10:55.
So moved.
Moved by Swavely.
Need a second.
Come on, lefties. We need something. I got a motion. I need a second. Moved by Shuler. Go into closed session at 10:55. Please vote. 6 in favor. Ask for a motion to go into
wait. Okay.
Open session at 11:40.
Motion to move.
Second.
Moved by Dorn. Second by Haxby. Prior to going into closed session, I forgot to read necessary for the protection of the public interest or for the protection of needless injury to the reputation of an individual. I just want to read it into the record. Motion by Dorn, second by Haxby to come out of closed session at 11:40. Please vote 4 in favor as we have lost a few members. Anything else for the good of the order? If not, we will adjourn at 11:40.